I need to go grab an egg. I will be right back.
Oh, whoa, there's an egg involved.
An egg.
Eggs and coffee go together just fine. But eggs in your coffee? It's part of the secret behind a drink called Church Basement Coffee at Krogstrom Club in Midtown. But what is Church Basement Coffee? Why are they serving it at a hip new Scandinavian restaurant? And why is there an egg in it? We sent our producer, Matthew Long Middleton, and reporter Brian Ellison to find out.
So the reason Brian and I are both here is because I am the son of an American Baptist minister, and Brian
is, in fact, a Presbyterian minister.
Okay.
So when I first started as a pastor, my very first day on the job, we had a meeting of the Board of Elders. And I went to that meeting, and someone had prepared the coffee, as they always do. And it was as classic a cup of Midwestern weak coffee. They used probably half as much coffee as they should have, and had been sitting on the burner for 2 hours by the time I had it. It was terrible. And I grew up in Seattle. I'm a little bit of a coffee snob even. And so I said to them, I love you people. Thank you so much for calling me to be here as your pastor. But unless we change this coffee, this is my last day.
So Brian's a coffee snob, and I'm similarly skeptical. And we're both very curious, what inspires you to make Church Basement Coffee?
I'm Josh Rogers. I'm owner and general manager at Krogstrom Club and Market. So what it is it's Church Basement Coffee, and a lot of people just call it Swedish egg coffee as well. So it started in a lot of the Lutheran churches up in Minnesota, the Dakotas, kind of that area. There's a huge Swedish and Norwegian population up there. And it kind of started, nobody knows for sure who did it first, but it started off as a way to take really cheap, cruddy coffee and really hard water and make it taste better. So what the egg does in the coffee is the egg whites and the shell kind of clarify it. So they're going to bring out a lot of those bad bitter notes and a lot of that and make it just kind of a nice, nutty, kind of creamy flavor to it. In the church basements, they would make it in just like huge pots on the stove and boil the coffee with, you know, an egg or two in it, depending on the batch. And then basically you put a little cold water over the top of it and it causes all the grounds to sink, and then you've got your coffee there after that. So if you're familiar with making a standard French press, it's not too different from that. You just add a couple of steps into it.
Josh measures out the coffee and grinds it. He throws the whole egg, eggshell included, into the French press.
And then almost kind of scrambling it in there just to get the yolk and everything kind of broken.
He adds the grounds and then mixes all that together. To me, it looks like you just made the most disgusting scrambled eggs in the entire world.
Right. There is nothing about that you would think is the basis of a sort of delicacy coffee drink.
The rest is pretty similar to your typical French press.
So there's a concept in Swedish culture called fika, and we kind of bill our happy hour as a fika. It's kind of designed to be like a coffee break in the middle of the day. Sit down, you know, take a few minutes out with your friends, have a snack, a little something sweet, maybe some cookies, and then just sit and have some coffee or tea or whatever you like. It's just kind of that recharge in the middle of the day. Would you gentlemen like a cup?
Please, yes. Coffee is swirling and cascading in the press.
It's going to look like a Guinness, so it's like you pour it, and then it's going to kind of do that sit and settle and all of that kind of thing. So
there's only one thing left to do.
Yes, you might as well.
Gents, thank you.
You are welcome.
Oh, wow.
That is really tasty. There's a depth to it that coffee without an egg in it doesn't have.
Yeah. It takes a lot of the bitter elements out. You still get a little bit of it, but you get more of like a nutty flavor out of it instead of just that really kind of acidic, bitter coffee.
Thanks to Josh Rogers of Krogstrom Club for that demonstration. It sounds like their church basement coffee earned the approval of our skeptical tasting team, Matthew Long Middleton and Brian Ellison. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is a Friday food show on KCUR Central Standard. Food and drink, that is, now that we've had our coffee, we are ready to move on to cocktails. Let's make a sloshy. Jerry Nervins of the Westport Bar Snow & Co. has written a book containing 102 recipes for sloshies, or boozy cocktails straight from the freezer. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. A pleasure to be here.
I'm guessing this is a little earlier than you typically begin serving cocktails.
I know. You're waking a bar owner up to come on like before noon. That's like almost unheard of.
I know. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, though.
The introduction to this book is kind of like an ode to alcohol and ice, and you have this whole fantasy imagining the first human being to discover the joy of consuming them together.
Yes, yes, we did. So I might have had a few when I was writing that portion of the book, but it was fun.
Spell out that fantasy.
Well, I mean, we were just saying, I mean, the story goes that, you know, long, long ago, alcohol was discovered, you know, just by fermenting fruits and, you know, that people realized that when you drank that, you felt really good. So we just kind of took it a step further and imagined at some point they had to leave it outside and it had to freeze, and they found the first frozen cocktail.
So in our own lifetimes, not taking into account these early humans who discovered something unheard of, I would say, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that frozen drinks have not, by and large, been, like, great.
I would completely agree with you there. They tended to have, you know, kind of migrated into just syrupy mixes and grain alcohol and stuff like that. But once upon a time, they actually were really fancy, you know, well-made cocktails, you know, back in the 50s and 60s. But just like most cocktail culture kind of went away during the 80s and 90s with just quick mixers and things like that, frozen cocktails kind of suffered the same fate. I just don't think that they've made quite the comeback that traditional cocktails have over the past 10 years or so, but you can definitely see that trend emerging where people are taking more care with the ingredients and the flavors.
The flavor part seems kind of crucial because, I mean, my history with frozen drinks has definitely emphasized the sweet, ignoring most of the rest of the palate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would completely agree with you. A lot of herbal flavors and things like that are part of cocktail culture that just didn't make its way over into frozen cocktails currently. But we like to do things with spicy. We like to do things with herbal, tart, sweet. And then we've actually broken the book up into sections like that so that people can pick something that's not just going to be a sweet cocktail. Although there's people that love sweet cocktails. They'll ask, what's the sweetest thing on your menu? Others will just say, what is something really unique? So I kind of brought you a little bit of both today.
Yeah, what got you into frozen drinks before we do that sampling that I am looking forward to?
So it was really just kind of a confluence of events. My partners and I all were in the MBA program over at UMKC. We knew we wanted to start a business because we had our emphasis in entrepreneurship and education and innovation. And we just would meet every Wednesday and say, what is it that we should work on? What kind of business? And it was a hot day in May, and all of our friends were talking about, gosh, I wish there was a place to go get a frozen cocktail. And we just looked at each other and said, maybe that's our business idea. Everybody's talking about frozen cocktails. There's not a good place to go get it. And that's where Snow & Company was born.
So tell me about going from being business people to, like, you gotta make your first frozen cocktails.
Oh, yeah. People say, well, how did you come up with the drinks? And I say, a lot of drinking. And that's true. So, I mean, you just sit down and, you know, you start mixing ingredients together. And part of the reason that we wrote the book is that there weren't a lot of good resources to go to find, like, good recipes. Everything was, like you said, it was very sweet. It was very tropical, very just juice-based with not a lot of variety in the types of liqueurs and liquors that you'd use. So we kind of had to start from scratch. But now that we have a base, it allowed us to build out these 100 and so recipes with a lot of different flavor profiles and some unique taste to it.
Recipes for sloshies. Can you define the sloshies? Is that just another way of saying frozen cocktail? Or are there particular, like, textural requirements?
So there's not textural requirements, although we do use milk quite a bit in some of these recipes. Now, you can sub it out with other stuff, and people ask, like, why is that? The milk actually does give it a different texture, and sometimes it'll, like, you can use that with a spiced drink to help kind of cut that, because it'll cut the capsaicin in there, so that way you can drink it and make it a little bit more palatable over the course of the drink. But yeah, I mean, basically it's frozen drinks for the masses, if you will, because you can just throw these in a Ziploc bag and do them at home. You don't need fancy equipment. You can use fancy equipment, but it's really a way for the layperson to find an accessible way to make something that they'd like at home that's frozen.
Yeah, your whole deal in this book is not needing a blender, which seems crazy.
Yes, yes. I mean, because usually you're using crushed ice in most people's minds for frozen drinks. All you're doing here is you're adding the water in and then freezing it together. So we've come up with those recipes in a way that it's already done for you and you just need to throw it in the freezer.
This reminds me a little bit of the Snoopy snow cone maker. Did you have one of those?
I did not have a Snoopy snow cone maker, but I should try and make some. That might be a good second book idea. It's like how to make, like, cocktails with the Snoopy snow cone maker.
Okay, so your technique involves a Ziploc baggie.
Yes, one of. I mean, you can use an ice cream maker, you can use a gelato machine, you can use the big fancy machines that we have, which are Granita-style frozen cocktail machines. But the simplest thing to do is you can just get a quick little, you know, hand blender and just mix this stuff together, throw it in a Ziploc bag, and then a couple hours later, you've got a frozen cocktail.
Okay, so you are going to demonstrate this technique for me. I'm sorry, I moved away from the microphone for a second to peek over at this Ziploc baggie.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just, I mean, again, so we just mixed it all together. And so you've got just a Ziploc bag that's just going to have your drink in there. And all you got to do is just, if it's a little bit too solid, you just massage it under some hot water there. And then you can just pour it straight into a glass. You can even cut the tip off if you want to do it really fancy, like you're kind of doing a pastry topping or something like that. You can just squeeze it out.
So what is in the Ziploc baggie I'm peering at right now? It looks like pineapple juice.
So this one is the Sunshine Boulevard. So it's a frozen shandy. So it's got Boulevard wheat, Tito's vodka, fresh orange, fresh lemon, and our house-made simple syrup. And then the other one I brought for you is the what we call the KC Kicker. So it's kind of a frozen horse feather. It's made with J. Rieger whiskey, KC Canning Company.
I need to just say this is shrub. The color of like papaya.
Yeah. Yep. So it's that's the blood orange ginger shrub from KC Canning Company that kind of gives it that color. And then we've got some limoncello and some fresh lemon in there as well. So it's a little bit spicier because it's got the ginger in there.
Okay, let's start spicy and then go sweet.
Okay, so yeah, so that one right there, the papaya looking one, is going to have, again, your J. Rieger whiskey, limoncello, and then the KC Canning Company shrub. So you're going to have just a little bit of a vinegary taste in there from the shrub as well.
And just so our listeners know, I'm taking the tiniest sip.
We'll try not to impair you too much for the rest of the show.
It's very smooth. I mean, for all of your warnings about spiciness, it is, I mean, yeah, it is a very complex palate, but very smooth.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. So, and then the frozen shandy is just it's a little bit simpler. So it's just fresh fresh juices, basically. And then you've got just a little bit of that bite from the Boulevard wheat there, so that you traditionally get when you drink it.
That is sweet. It reminds me, it's good. I wouldn't drink a high volume of that, not just because of the whole hosting a whole talk show thing, but I mean, that is the thing with sweeter drinks, right? I mean, it's you can't really...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why we have a variety in the book, because there's some that are drier so that they're actually for people that don't like sweet, they can kind of have a larger volume of it. But yeah, some people love sweet and they'll just go to town on that drink.
There are a couple of drinking techniques that I would like to ask you about.
Yeah.
One of them is... okay, you're trying to impress a certain someone, you're out having frozen drinks, and you don't want to do the thing where you tilt your head back and hit yourself in the face with a bunch of ice. You know what I mean? It doesn't just flow like a non-frozen liquid. Do you have a technique?
I don't have a technique other than if you kind of stir it a little bit. So like just say take your time with the drink probably. Stir it a little bit so it gets a little bit slushier and a little bit more... you don't want it to be completely liquid, but if you get it to the point where it's a little bit slushier versus a little bit of that kind of what I consider like a 7-Eleven Slurpee, then it won't hit you that hard, you know, as far as the surprise of it all sliding forward at once and hit you in the face.
You also have a couple of remedies for brain freeze, which I, in addition to hitting yourself in the face with a bunch of ice and then having to wipe it off, like that thing where you put your hand on your forehead and you're like,
yes.
Is also not very like sociable.
No, it's not. It's not. So it's actually because it's getting the vein that comes through into your brain there. And it's cooling that down. So you're getting cooled blood up there. So the two things you can do is you can push your tongue up against the palate of the roof of your mouth, and that helps warm that up. Or if you just tilt your head completely up, it kind of helps with the flow of blood and lets that warm up a little bit better.
Jerry Nevins with us from Snow & Co. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having us again today.
Jerry's drink recipes can be found in his book, Sloshies, 102 Boozy Cocktails Straight from the Freezer. When KCUR Central Standard returns, we'll be talking happy hour because it's always 4 o'clock somewhere. The food critics will share their favorite happy hour menus, and we hope you'll share yours. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. We we're back, and we're getting ready for happy hour on KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, here with the food critics, Charles Ferruza, who writes for The Independent and the Shawnee Mission Post. Hello.
Hello.
Mary Block is with us. She writes the food blog Around the Block. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
And Jenny Vergara. I can say your name, I swear.
That's okay.
Jenny's with us from Feast Magazine. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks.
We want you to call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the happy hour you love, whether it's for the food, the drinks, or the scene, hopefully all of the above. 816-235-2888. So, critics, a lot of people go to happy hours for the deals, like maybe most people even. That's an important part of the whole happy hour thing. But what are the other factors, just besides dollars and cents, that set a truly great happy hour apart?
You know, I think it's busyness, you know, just a kind of a sense of nobody wants to have happy hour in an empty bar. And that's kind of a restaurant. So that's kind of a sad thing. But so if there's a little bit of a scene, I mean, enough where you can talk and still social. The thing about happy hour is social is so important, being able to socialize with people.
Well, I mean, there should always be that happy component, you know.
Right. Exactly. Keeps
a happy and happy hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's definitely the vibe.
What are some of... Are there different types of happy hour vibes for different types of happy hour goers? Or is it pretty much just across the board like, woohoo?
Well, I think in the 1970s, when there was still, you know, a lot more pickup action than there is now, but sex was a kind of a major component of happy hours.
Slow down, Charles.
Really?
Sorry, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
No, I think singles drive happy hour. I mean,
or at least did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not sure they drive it anymore. My husband, and I say this on this show every year, we have this happy hour show. My husband is cheap. Mm-hmm. So we go to happy hour because he can have the same meal between 5 to 7 that he could have from 7 to 9.
That's like a groovy way of saying we're going for the early bird special.
Well, it's not the time. It's the cost.
You know... Thinking about just when I was most active in going to happy hours, when I think about like my 20s, it used to be a really important part of my workplace friendships that it would just sort of extend the social part of the workday with my other like young single friends. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, I was just thinking the other day, I was like, I don't even remember the last time I was at a happy hour. I mean, I think I eat and drink so much just doing what I do for a living that happy hour has just kind of fallen off my radar completely. But in my 20s, I mean, it was an extension. You went out with your work buds. I mean, that was how you made those friendships in the workplace.
Or so. You went to meet people.
Right.
It was always a good kind of launching pad for new friendships.
That's why I say the social aspect of this cannot be discounted, even in the discounted world of happy hour.
Or when you were in college, and I know I'm dating myself here, but there was a time, once you were 21, you went out for happy hour because the food was free.
Right.
You paid for the drinks, but you'd have these open buffets.
Which I don't think is legal to do anymore.
Probably not.
Right.
So the food has gone from free to merely discounted.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. So that's a little happy hour history.
We should also
in
put
brief.
That in those days of free happy hour food, the food was usually awful.
Oh, terrible. Fair enough. I mean,
but
yeah,
it was free.
It was free.
And you were in college, so
right.
It was better than dorm food is the way I always thought about it.
Well, okay, so Jenny, we're emphasizing ambiance at the moment and the whole scene. There's a place you're recommending for a specific kind of ambiance. You're recommending Voltaire, which is dark and romantic, you mm-hmm. say?
Yeah, you know, I love the bar at Voltaire, and anybody who's been there would probably agree that it's very well done. It's classy. It feels like you're thrown back. It's almost like a time warp, kind of thrown back in time to the early 1900s, but it's this beautiful bar, and they have incredibly delicious craft cocktails there, and always something interesting on the happy hour menu, which is constantly changing the food menu there. So this is really it's very dark, so it is kind of maybe a date, you know, happy hour date if you're, you know, taking someone out for a little romantic bite. This would be a great choice, and really fun, eclectic food and awesome drinks.
Jenny, can I ask you, because it's been a while, I love Voltaire, but it's been a while since I've been there, let alone for happy hour. But don't they have a specific separate happy hour menu?
They do. They do. And it, you know, it's not published online. You're not going to be able to find it on social media. It's literally whatever Wes, the chef in the kitchen, is kind of dreaming up at that moment. So it constantly changes, but I'm always ordering something off of it. There's always something interesting that I haven't had before that I enjoy. So
and the bar itself is beautiful. I love to just sit at the bar.
And so, and that's a major distinction that we were just making. This whole, some places have a happy hour menu that is totally its own creation. And some places have either like smaller interpretations of regular menu items, a smaller selection of those items, et cetera.
Right. That's exactly right.
Is there another place on someone's list that has its own like special happy hour menu that the items aren't on the other menus?
I would say Sava is one, and it also fits what Jenny said about Voltaire. It's a beautiful space.
This is Sava in Westport?
Yes, and it's a champagne bar, but they do have cocktails and beer and still wine as well. Beautiful brick, old chairs, gorgeous marble bar.
And the patio, right?
They do have a patio.
So that's maybe... You know, we're talking about the dark romantic spot. This is maybe a place to enjoy a beautiful afternoon and evening.
That's true. Although I just love the inside so much that I usually go inside anyway. And they have a small menu anyway, even for their regular. But they have like duck fat, kettle corn, cheeses, beignets. You get discounted bottles of a wide array of sparkling wines, which I love. And it's treat you really well there. I love it.
Mary, you are referring to the food at Sava as snacks. And that's a word that I see popping up on more and more menus, especially bar menus and happy hour menus. Can you talk to me about that?
Well, I think instead of having a full meal, the owners are figuring you're going to come in, have a drink, as I say, something like the kettle corn or the cheese. Blue Stem Lounge does that too. They used to discount their bar menu at happy hour, and now they just have snacks. You can get corn muffins with goat cheese and red pepper jelly. They've got great warm bacon popcorn. That seems to be a thing right now.
That caught my eye. That seems like a very decadent topping for popcorn.
And it's really good. And it goes great with wine.
Well, and one of the things I'll say, too, about snacks is, you know, small plates are pretty much what everybody kind of thinks of in terms of appetizers or happy hour, things that you can share. Snacks are really what they used to give away for free at the bar, like a little thing of peanuts or a little thing of popcorn. And it's, of course, dressed up with rosemary and bacon and delicious, wonderful things
if
that we all
lucky.
Love. Right. Mm. But yeah, so I think the snacks category is more about for those people who just want something salty to go with their drink, but not a full meal.
Well, you know.
We've talked about Voltaire, we've talked about Sava, we've talked about Blue Stem, and we want to hear about your favorite happy hour in Kansas City. 816-235-2888. Charles, you are recommending some great seafood options.
Well, one of the nice things I think about happy hour is that, you know, if you want to try places that may be too expensive to dine, you know, normally, or more on a regular basis. For some reason, the seafood options seem much, much less expensive, even at expensive venues, at places like Jack's Fish House, where you can get the, you know, their happy hour sampler for $20, which is cheap for what you get.
Now, Jack's Seafood.
Jack's Fish House.
Fish House, sorry. I knew I wasn't getting that quite right. That's on the Plaza.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about that place.
Well, it's certainly lively at happy hour. It's a scene.
They're busy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've got to go early to get a seat at that bar.
Right.
And it's a great bar, excuse me, but it goes all the way around. It's a large rectangle, and that is the place to sit because that's where all the action is.
And there's a lot of action.
And they're shucking oysters right there on the spot.
And this is a place it's been open for a few years, but it is kind of like a destination, but one that might feel sort of out of a lot of people's price range.
Right. And you know, you could get some bargains there whether you drink or not. It's a good deal to check things out.
So what do you like to get at the Jack's happy hour?
Well, they have something called Vietnamese crepes that are very, very delicious. And the last time I was there, for some reason, I was impelled, I don't know why, it was complete madness, to have some caviar, which was, and you know, that's a
ooh la la.
I know.
How fancy pants of you.
Every once in a while, I do put those on. but I was going to say, you know, that kind of reinforces, you know, what happy hour started out as, which was happy hour kind of grew out of the historic saloons free lunch, where it would extend well into dinner hour. And all of the food that they served was salty.
Mm-hmm. Usually that makes you thirsty?
Yes. So you will drink more. You know, whether it be pretzels, peanuts, cheese.
Salty popcorn.
Salty mm-hmm. popcorn. All, you know, all of those things. And you know, it's a great sales device. Eat this free salty snack and see if you don't want to order a couple more beers.
Exactly.
Mary, you are also recommending the Jack's Happy Hour. Is there something else that you might steer us toward that Charles hasn't mentioned?
I love the ceviche tostadas, which are exactly what they sound like on a flat tortilla, and they have an avocado salsa on them, and they're really nice, refreshing. And then they also have their chicken and crawfish gumbo, which is on their regular menu, but it's cheaper, and it's just really good.
Now, you mentioned, both of you, that this is a pretty busy happy hour. Do you have to sort of time your arrival strategically if
yes.
you want to get a spot?
You do want to get there early, and I think it starts early, like at 3 or 4.
And, 4 to 6 Sunday
okay.
through Friday.
And so you want to be there
by at least by 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can still get a seat, I think, by 4:30 or so.
Now, Charles, you are also recommending another seafood-oriented happy hour at the Bristol.
Yeah, you know, I've only been to the downtown location because, you know, I'm currently not allowed to drive into Johnson County unless I take a bus. But the Bristol's downtown seafood grill's, you know, a really nice place. Very casual and yet sophisticated and laid back. And from 4 to 6, Sunday through Friday, and 9 to 11 on Friday and Saturday, you can get oysters for a buck and $3.50 lobster claws, which I think are a really good deal. You know, I like lobster, but I like it in limited portions. I just want the claw.
And their menu is unique in that they have the small plates by price. So for $3, you can get XYZ. For $4, you can get this. For $5, you can get a lobster roll.
And they have a rather large menu, as
yeah.
I remember.
Yeah,
there's quite a lot to choose from on it.
You can easily make a meal.
And they have valet parking.
You know, for the Power and Light, you know, or the Sprint Center nights or, you know, tickets to something, that's a good option.
On the regular Bristol menu, one of the sort of perks that people talk a strange amount about is the biscuit. People love the biscuit or the roll. I mean, I don't know.
It's a biscuit. It's a drop biscuit, which I've never been a sucker for those because my theory is within 5 seconds of them being dropped on your plate, they turn into cement.
That's why you eat them right away.
Oh, okay.
Good old cheddar biscuit. I mean,
no, not cheddar.
No.
Sweet.
Is it sweet?
Yeah,
it's
like
sweet.
A biscuit. It's like a biscuit. Biscuit.
But my question being, are those served with happy hour?
I'm sure they are. Yeah,
I think they are. Or you can ask for them. They're not going to turn you down.
I was going to say they'll bring you some.
All right. You heard it here from our confident critics. So that was the Bristol. And let's hear from our listeners about some of their favorite happy hour specials. Kathy and Olathe, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What do you want to tell us
Hi,
about?
Everybody.
Hi.
Well, I want to put a plug in for neighborhood bars. I live in Brookside, although I work in Olathe, and there are two neighborhood bars that we visit regularly for happy hour, and that would be Michael Forbes right there on 63rd Street and Lou's, and that's L-E-W apostrophe S, in Waldo. And both of them have reduced drinks and half-price appetizers from like 4 to 7 or 4 to 6. And they're neighborhood bars, so you run into everybody you know or you meet people that you should know.
So it's a good way to feel like a part of your neighborhood?
Yes. And you get to know people that you wouldn't otherwise meet that live on the block behind you or the block around you. Or
And so then you get, do you get home in time to make dinner and still just have the rest of your evening? That sounds like, I mean, I'm sort of thinking about why, you know, what would be particularly appealing about staying in your own neighborhood for happy hour?
Walking distance is always a nice feature.
Yeah. Here, here. Yeah. That's a good point.
No Uber.
And really, in both cases, their appetizer servings, I mean, we'll usually order a couple of things, sometimes three, there are two of us. We'll order two or three things, and that is dinner.
Well, Kathy,
you know,
is there, if you could tell us just about one item from one of these happy hours that you, like, dream about some afternoons as the time approaches, what would it be?
The Michael Forbes has a spicy shrimp that they prepare. It's in a tempeh type of crust, and then it's served with a sweet, spicy sauce. And Lou's has, they call them cat paws. It's small pieces of catfish fillet that are perfectly, very lightly breaded and fried, but they're light and they're not heavy, and they're both served with wonderful sauces.
Well, Kathy,
so those would be my two top picks.
Thank you so much for recommending Lou's and Michael Forbes, one in Brookside, one in Waldo. And the neighborhood bar idea for happy hour is a great one. Did anyone else have a neighborhood bar on their list?
You know, I think that's a good point. Actually, all of us have restaurants that we're recommending for happy hour. I went through and checked. The one bar that I would recommend for good food is Sot. And that's in downtown. So if you live downtown, that's a great place, which I do. But Sot basically is this fantastic bar. It's off of Grand, and it has craft cocktails, beer, wine, and then really good food. I mean, to me, that's a, you have to be firing on all cylinders. Great drinks and great food to be on my list. So
now, Jenny, how do you spell Sot in case people are Googling this as we speak?
It stands for South of Truman, which literally it is on the map. So S-O-T, Sot.
What do you order?
You know what? The menu changes constantly. There's always a popcorn, caramely popcorn of some kind that I usually get. But they've had some kind of more Asian dishes, which I've really enjoyed on their menu. I can't, none of them particularly come to mind. But
they have a great cauliflower.
Yes. I've had their vegetarian.
Harissa on it, perhaps. Romesco.
Jenny, what used to be in the space where Sot is?
It was kind of nothing, actually. It was a space that was owned by Ron Berg, who has the photography studio and the event space, Berg Event Space. And he had it and rented it out to a number of people who tried different retails and offices, spaces, and various things in that building. So this is actually, Ron actually owns Sot. And so he's kind of made this his foray into the bar business.
And is this north of Truman, then?
South of Truman.
Yeah, south. I was
going
to say.
What the name of the restaurant means.
South. Okay. South.
Let's go ahead and turn back to our callers. We've got Susan with us from Waldo. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
What do you want to recommend for happy hour in Kansas City?
Well, I'm going with another neighborhood place in Waldo. We really have enjoyed the happy hour that Boru puts on. It's a Korean place at 75th and Jefferson.
Tell us about the happy hour.
The happy hour, I think, is they have the really great cocktails that they feature. They're discounted. My summer go-to cocktail has been the Samurai 75, which is a sparkling wine, and it has gin, which I don't normally go for, but I love it here, and some lemon and simple syrup, and it's very light and refreshing. And then they also have a lot of menu items that are discounted during happy hour that are a lot of fun to share with a table full of people. And my favorite is the fries, which is, they do a kind of a Korean poutine. So they have sweet potato fries that are tempura'd, and it's served with a curry mayo, kimchi, pork belly, and a fried egg on top.
Got to put an egg on top.
Oh my
Susan.
Gosh, I would love that.
Thanks for calling. Yeah. You know, before we abandon this whole Brookside Waldo thing, Mary, you're recommending a place just right around the corner from Boru Ramen. You're recommending Summit Bar and Grill.
Yes, and they're owned by the same people. Summit moved into a larger space just west of where Boru is now, and they have a hopping happy hour. I love their ahi tuna with Asian slaw. You can get baby burgers, street tacos, truffled fries, pot roast sliders, and, of course, discounted drinks.
Well, call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the happy hour you love. Maybe a happy hour in your neighborhood bar. And help us figure out how to map out a good happy hour strategy. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman with the Food Critics. Stay tuned. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and I'm here with the Food Critics. They are guiding us to Kansas City's happy hours, and we want to hear from you at 816-235-2888, because every year we update our official list of the best happy hours in and around Kansas City. And for this list to be everything it can be to everyone who really needs it at about 4 p.m., it needs your input. 816-235-2888. We want to get every neighborhood if we can. So before we return to the happy hour that is at the typically understood happy hour time, Jenny, you are recommending a Mission neighborhood happy hour that is late at night.
Yeah, so reverse happy hour, which is a late night happy hour, is kind of a newer thing, probably a new twist on this in the last, I don't know, I've probably seen it the last 5 years. And this is a new place that's actually opening up in the Crossroads downtown. It's called Mission Taco Joint, and it's at on 18th Street. And basically, they do a late night happy hour from 10 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. when they close. Now, they're not open yet. They're going to be opening to the public next week. But they have three locations already in St. Louis, and the brothers that own it offer this late night happy hour in all locations in St. Louis. It's my understanding they'll do that as well in Kansas City. And it's like $2 off all their tacos and special drink specials that will be offered and available. But fresh, kind of interesting tacos, burritos, you know, lots of great things to love there. If you happen to be someone who works late or are out late and didn't get dinner before you went to the show, the movie, the thing.
Or need another dinner.
Or need a snack. Need a snack. This will be a great, fun, interesting new thing, place to hit in the Crossroads in the next week.
Have you had a chance to try the food in St. Louis by any chance?
I have not been to the one in St. Louis, but they're having a bit of a soft opening for us media folks this weekend. So I'll be able to get a chance to update everybody on what it tastes like after this weekend.
And they have a celebrity bartender, too.
They do. They do have her. She's so sassy.
Say more.
Jen DeSoto, where did she just come? She left.
Q39 is where she was most recently. Okay. And she's just continues to be a rock star. She'll own that bar program at this new place. So
what makes her such a rock star?
She's done a lot. She's been very active in the bartending community in Kansas City, and she's been in several competitions, and so she's just she's a big, bright, shiny star personality.
She's hilarious.
She is hilarious.
Mary and Charles, you are both recommending the Rieger for happy hour.
Yes. It's if you've never been to the Rieger, the bar is in the front of the building, and then the restaurant is behind. It's not a large space, so it's another one of those where you have to get there at a decent hour, because otherwise you'll be standing with your drink. But they have discounted cocktails, wine, and beer, and a lot of offerings that are on the regular menu, but some that aren't. They have small plates like crudo and carpaccio and meatballs, and that's a great bar program, and Jen was there at one point, too. Mm-hmm. And Ryan maybe with Manifesto.
That's a restaurant that's kind of intimidating to people.
Why?
Well, it's a little bit expensive, and it's a little bit hipster-ish in some ways. And I think by going to happy hour, you can kind of get a little bravado to confront the
feel familiar and
intimidation.
Get a taste.
Issue. Yeah.
So, what do you like to get at the Rieger's happy hour, Charles?
That pork soup, the last time I was there was cold.
Oh.
And
that's what they're known for, is the Rieger
signature
pork soup.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, Mary, you mentioned standing up, and I just want to issue a challenge to all the people with standing desks that they should be the first ones standing at happy hour as well.
Although they're probably tired from standing all day.
Yeah. Let's talk to Kevin in Kansas City, Missouri about his favorite happy hour. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be on. So I would like to recommend Ross Sushi in Leawood, just a little bit out of KC, but I think it's worth the drive for anyone, even in downtown. But their sushi specials are really worth it for their happy hour. My favorite go-to is their crunchy calamari roll. It's got a little bit of tempura calamari, crab mix, cream cheese, and then on the outside are small fried bits of crunchy green tempura. And just an amazing flavor combination, really rich and savory, and just quality sushi to me is it's just a really great, unique food experience. And I think they do it very well, and they've got some good drink, good mixed drinks as well too.
Well, thanks, Kevin. That's Raw Sushi in Leawood.
Yes.
Okay, so Kevin is recommending Raw Sushi in Leawood for a great happy hour.
I was going to say, Gina, that brings up a good point that there are lots and lots of sushi restaurants in the Kansas City Metro that offer a pretty exciting happy hour program where, you know, sushi tends to be expensive.
Yes.
And add some cocktails to that, and I'm sure it's more expensive. But if you're, going back to this word, intimidated by sushi and haven't had the adventurous spirit to order a lot of it, happy hour is a good way to kind of explore a new sushi menu.
Well, I think you can say that about almost all ethnic cuisines. I mean, if you just aren't as familiar with it, or if you're intimidated by the price point to go eat for dinner, happy hour is a great way to stick big toe in the water on almost any category. So,
now, Jenny, you have a recommendation that takes us north of the river.
Yes, I do. Northlandia is what they're calling that now. Did you know that? I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of love that in every
way
there is.
Explain that, because that's a reference, I think, in some ways to Portlandia, which is like the hipster Portland joke kind of thing.
Just in a brief quote, North Kansas City is coming on strong. There's a lot of new bars and a lot of new restaurants and distilleries and breweries that are opening up down there in just like several blocks. I mean, just several square blocks. So it definitely has rebranded itself as a new, exciting kind of entertainment district. And I think Northlandia is a hilarious, wonderful way to term, you know, what that is.
Are those considered neighborhood restaurants then, Jenny?
Neighborhood. It's awfully industrial around there. I mean, there is some apartments and some houses that are kind of back behind. But
any place is a neighborhood restaurant if you live there.
True. But for anybody who works downtown and then has to drive home to go up north, you go right by it. I mean, it's a great little stop-in spot. But I'm recommending Peel 18th, which just opened up in Northlandia, to use the new terminology. And it's a really cool little place that has a great chef. It's Brian Sparks. He's been at many, many different restaurants. But he's got some things right now that everybody's buzzing about. Monkfish corn dogs is on the happy hour menu.
Are they on a stick?
They aren't on a stick, but they're definitely, you can dip them. And they're delicious. I mean, it's like a fried fish nugget. How can you not like that?
That sounds wonderful.
Little steak burgers, scallop ceviche, chicken wings, fish tacos. I mean, it just goes on and on. And he's got this really cool deal where you can get one for $6, three for $15, or five for $22 if you have a big group.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah. And then Daryl Liu is actually the craft cocktail bartender there. And he's shaking up some really, really good cocktails, beer, wine, whatever you want there. So great little place to stop into.
Can I ask, Jenny, mm-hmm. and I'm sounding like a broken record, forgive me, but what was there in that spot where Repeal 18th is?
It was an old bar that was like a fireman's hangout.
Okay.
And it was a guy's name like Joe's or I can't.
So it's not on the main drag.
No, it's right by Chicken and Pickle, and it's right behind Cinderblock Brewery.
Okay.
So they've got a beautiful outdoor space with a stage for entertainment, and yeah, a lot going on there.
Now, Mary, you are calling the happy hour at Extra Virgin the most comprehensive in town. What do you mean by that?
Well, they offer their regular menu, and if you look at it, they're little diamonds by dishes that are half price during happy hour. So you can have a full meal. They've got their hanger steak with salsa verde, their chicken thighs, crab and chorizo fried rice, as well as things like potatoes, papas bravas, and whatnot. But you can have their regular menu at happy hour. They have discounted drinks. And the other thing, unlike many restaurants, you can be sitting anywhere and get the happy hour deal. Anywhere in the restaurant. A lot of places say bar only. And here you can sit at the bar, you can be at the restaurant, you can be out in the patio. Mm-hmm. And you can have the exact same experience that you would have only from 4 to 6.
So if someone's going to go to Extra Virgin for the first time to take advantage of this lower price point during happy hour, what's the one dish you would recommend as like your first introduction to this restaurant? It's a pretty notorious Kansas City restaurant.
It is. Can I do two?
Yes.
Okay. They do a really nice job with their steamed buns, whatever Michael decides to put in them. Sometimes it's pork, sometimes it's duck. They also have the Papa's Bravas that I mentioned, which are unlike any other in town. I can't go to that restaurant and not get them.
So that's potatoes.
It's potatoes in a romesco sauce. But in most restaurants, it's chunks of potatoes that are in the sauce. This is their fabulous homemade potato chips that have been drenched in this sauce, basically. And they're really addictive.
Okay, so that's Extra Virgin and the Crossroads. We have some people on Twitter making recommendations. We're hearing about Cleaver and Cork's cheese curds and pickles as a favorite happy hour snack. That sounds like it's getting pretty old school with the origins of happy hour as snack, salty snack food to go with your drinks.
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, you know, as far as being in the Power and Light goes, that's a great little place to stop in. Those cheese curls have been on the menu, I think, since they opened.
They put them on their hamburger. Instead of a cheeseburger, they have cheese curds. That's a really fun addition to a burger.
We're also hearing from someone on Twitter that the best under-the-radar happy hour bargain is the Drum Room's $4 burger and drink specials. Anyone here tried that?
No, but let's go.
The Drum Room, that's at the Hotel President, right?
Yes.
Okay. We have actually another tweeted recommendation. Best happy hour menu, someone says, is Harry's Country Club for beer, wine, cocktails, and food, plus the coveted Saturday daytime happy hour. Saturday daytime happy hour sounds like a smart destination.
It does.
You've got time.
Well, they're picking up on all that city market, farmer's market traffic, I'm guessing.
Because most happy hours are just during the weekday and often not even on Friday. So that's a
Well, Jenny, you talk to a lot of chefs and restaurant owners. I've always wondered and never had the guts to ask, I guess, are happy hours loss leaders? Do restaurants take a loss?
I think it depends on how you look at it. A lot of them look at it as a way to get people in the door to sample things they may have never sampled before. So they take good advantage of it and offer nice things. I'm sure there are some items on happy hour menus that are loss leaders for sure, just to get people in the door. So it's probably a combination of both, depending on where you go.
It's a great marketing tool.
Absolutely. And if they play their cards right, people stay past 6 o'clock order regular things off
and have
the menu.
Dinner maybe.
And that's something to be aware of if you are going specifically for the deals. But Jenny, there are a couple of, there's a very new place. I mean, pretty new place. The Antler Room that you're recommending.
Yeah, the Antler Room is kind of our new darling. Bon Appetit just named them one of the best restaurants kind of in America right now. So
kind of in America.
Yeah, you know.
It's kind of one of the best in the country.
We just have one of those here. So, but we have such a wonderful restaurant scene. We need to just, if we are not recognizing, please stand up and recognize. But Antler Room is just one of the new pieces to that puzzle that continues to make the whole. But
so first, where is it? What's it like?
It's over on Hospital Hill is where it's located. And it's kind of a small kind of Scandinavian modern restaurant. But the food is very local and lots of small plates that you can share, pasta dishes. And they actually don't have a happy hour for food. Their happy hour is all drink specials. But they have a nice size bar. And if you haven't been to the Antler Room, but you've been hearing the buzz, it'd be great just to, you know, sneak in, have a drink, have a order one of their small plates to share so you can just kind of sample it before you decide to schedule your next big date night there.
And I would just clarify, the decor is Scandinavian, but not the food.
No. Absolutely. Sorry. Yes. Decor Scandinavian. And like I said, just modern, local, locally sourced everything. And the menu changes quite frequently.
And aren't they known for, like, there's often music?
No.
I'm making that up.
Nope.
Just pretend I didn't say that.
They are known for their pastas, though. Nick makes some great homemade pastas.
Yeah.
And Jenny, while we're on the places you're recommending for drinks, Julep?
Yeah, you know, Julep is our whiskey bar in Westport, and they continue to offer just a really amazing selection of excellent craft cocktails at an incredible price at happy hour. But they've got this new chef, Charles Barr, in there, and he is really doing some fun, fresh, interesting new dishes. Like I said, the menu changes quite frequently, but the food alone and then excellent drinks, man, that always is my sweet spot, so...
And Charles, on our way out, tell us what you recommend at Lydia's.
Well, because I'm dieting, the crab frico. There's nothing like a nice melted cheese. To
crispy, crunchy.
Yeah.
You're on the seafood diet. You seafood and you eat it.
That's right. In their new taverna.
Si.
Okay. Our time is up. Charles Ferruzza, Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, thank you all so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Charles writes for The Independent and the Shawnee Mission Post. Mary blogs about food at Around the Block. And Jenny is with us from Feast Magazine. You can check out the official KCUR Happy Hour list at kcur.org later today. And if you missed any of our shows this week and you want to catch up, they're all archived at kcur.org/centralstandard. Earlier this week, we did talk about public high schools in Kansas City, and that is required listening. Lots of diverse perspectives, so check it out. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Andrea Tudhope, and Suzanne Hogan, with help from intern Danielle Hogarty. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.